invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Come and Pray in Us, Holy Spirit.
Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, transcendent, immanent, and omnipresent. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. There is an insert in your bulletin, and that's going to list all the current and upcoming events, so be sure to take that home with you. And if you misplace it or if you just want further information, be sure to check the website, consciousharmony.org. And there is that and so much more, so avail yourself of that. Also on that insert are the words to our community song, the chant that we'll be singing. You might want to look those over now so that you can sing freely during the community song. Please join us this coming Saturday, September 26th, from 9 till noon for our next community work day. And it says we have a long list of projects, so many hands will be appreciated. So if you've never joined us on a work day, this is a great day to do what in the East they call karma yoga, which is working for someone other than yourself, giving your services away. And of course, whenever you do that, several things happen. You get to meet people that you go to church with in their jeans or shorts and get to perhaps know them a little bit better. And always when I am here on a work day, I go home inspired and do things around my house that have needed to be done for so long. So you get so many benefits from that. Our next Introduction to Centering Prayer course will be held Saturday, October 10th, and that's from 8:30 to 3:15. It is $75. Lunch is included, and that also includes the follow-up sessions, which will be the next six consecutive Tuesday evenings at 7:30. This is a seven-week course informing a contemplative practice or a centering prayer practice. So many of you I know have a centering prayer practice. Maybe it's a little dusty and you'd just like to renew it. Or maybe you haven't started doing centering prayer yet. I just want to say as a word from my sponsor, it is essential for your transformation. I remember teaching Emily Cady's Lessons in Truth, which was one of the first books I read 35 years ago on the spiritual journey. And as I taught it for the church here, one of the things she says is, you must sit with God in silence for at least an hour a day if you want to be transformed. We have to listen to God. We are just always going and telling God how it should be and so on. But it's really in opening and listening and letting His love in is what transforms us. So everything that we do up to that is really preparation for that transformation that God has in His heart to give each one of us. Oh, yesterday we had a silent retreat. Oh my gosh. Was anybody here yesterday? Yeah. It was so deeply, profoundly silent. And we have another opportunity coming up Saturday, October the 17th, from 8:30 to 4:30. There is a $15 suggested love offering. There is no need to pre-register. And this will be a brown bag lunch again, which means you bring your own lunch, which has a little incentive because you can eat anywhere on the grounds and just have more time for silence and solitude. It's beautiful. And then we have our next commuter retreat, which will be held Sunday, October the 18th, and Monday, October the 19th. Please look at your insert for more information. And just for your knowledge, you can combine the 1 day and the 2 days and have a 3 day retreat experience. So for all of our centering prayer activities, there's always scholarships, so never let money be the thing that holds you back. We have new membership classes beginning on September 30th through October the 21st. There are 4 Wednesday evenings at 7:30. These classes are required for anyone who's planning to join the church in November, but it's also open to individuals who just want to find out more about the church. And the topics include the history of the Church of Conscious Harmony, sacraments, practices in community, and stewardship and tithing. And we do ask you to pre-register for those. Due to a meeting in the fellowship hall, we won't be having our usual fellowship after the service today. If this is your first time here at the church and you would like to find out more about the church and its offerings, there will be someone on the other side of the bridge to talk with you and to give you something to read, take home with you, and to begin a dialogue with us. And now Tim has a message for us.
Well, I'm really glad you asked about retreats, because Barbara had been on retreat for 6 days, was home for a couple of days, and then was on retreat all day yesterday. Now, what I get back from retreats has the shiniest, deepest, most beautiful eyes, and the most wonderful and friendly attitude. And if you think I mind Barbara going on retreat, you're wrong. I miss her. I really do, and the dog misses her. We sit around, look at each other, and moan. But something happens. Even though she's been at this for 35 years, something happens. So I wanted to inquire of you, any of you who were on the 6-day retreat or who attended yesterday's 1-day retreat, if you would share with the rest of us who may not have a retreat experience, what was your experience in that? What could you share with us about it? Who wants to share something? Yes, go ahead, Brenda.
It had been quite a few years since I've been on a extended retreat, and I needed this retreat to reconnect with the deepest place within myself for so many reasons. To love God more, to love people more, to love myself more, and to love the process more. I really cast aside so much old, unnecessary judgments and things that were just that I was attached to, saying that it was a profound experience does little for the actual depth. And one of the visualizations that came up when we did talk at the beginning was one about this caterpillar looking at the butterfly saying, well, you really have to want to change. And I tell you, the transformation, just, you think it's just going to be inch by inch, but it is quantitatively explosive. And I'm just so, so grateful. And anyway.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And of course, we were doing butterflies and caterpillars last week here. Who else? Yes, go ahead, Mary Leah. We'll do you next. Go ahead, Rebecca.
I think the thing that's so amazing about retreats is that so much happens in such a short amount of time. And for me, it was a forgiveness retreat. And I got a much deeper cut of understanding on a lot of things I had already knew or seen before in just such profound ways. And one thing is really was able to become more aware of the obstacles that are in my heart that prevent me from receiving or giving divine love. And then really understanding how that really is what my job is. And then to surrender to God to do the healing. And then to have complete trust, like radical, radical trust that that healing will happen. And those are maybe words I'd heard before, but I get it on a cellular level now. And it's like awarenesses are just sparking. Yes. And so many things that I'm seeing. And another thing that was really profound for me is a reframing of the Eucharist. And thinking about how every time we take the Eucharist that we're taking this master teacher of forgiveness into our bodies. And it becomes a part of us so that our potential to forgive ourselves and forgive those around us are, we're embodying the Holy Spirit's ability to do it because God will do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And we truly aren't fully capable of forgiveness. It comes from grace. And so just to be able to be walked through the steps of doing that, coming home and hearing the steps over and over again has just been a profound gift. And just this deeper understanding, and I keep seeing how so many religions have so many great things to offer, but Christ is the Prince of Peace. That's where peace comes from. It's the ability to forgive. And so it was just a profound experience. I'm very grateful.
Would you say the retreats are optional on the spiritual journey?
Gosh. If you, why would you not go when you can press that surge button in your car and just take off, you know? It's just like, why struggle slowly, painfully? It's hard enough, you know? And so when there's this gift that's there that can just catapult you so fast, I already can't wait for the next one. I mean, it's... it's hard. The spiritual journey is hard, and it's liberating at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Who else? I saw another hand over here someplace. Yes, Mary Leah. Third from the back.
As Rebecca said, it was a forgiveness retreat, and we were graced with Mary Dwyer, who came to lead us, and she taught us the forgiveness practice, and that fits within a forgiveness process. And I think my big deeper understanding, and when I say understanding, I mean with all three of my centers, I really got this thing, forgiveness. I get it so much more deeply now, like Rebecca said. So what I've come to understand is that forgiveness is not an event, like, yeah, I forgive you, check the box. It is this constant motion. It's a forgiveness is not, it's an active verb, and you are forgiving constantly.
Yes.
And that openness, that willingness to see everything in your life as an opportunity to forgive. And that's what really I didn't understand. I went to the retreat thinking that there was people in my life that I needed to forgive, and that I, gosh darn it, I would do that. And that wasn't it at all. It was an opening to the fact that, you know, forgiveness for yourself is really a lot harder than forgiving others.
Yes.
And anything that I have done in the past that requires forgiveness, now I'm given this wonderful tool to start exploring that. The retreat was a start, and this process of forgiveness will be with me for a long time, forever, until I'm done on this earth, and even maybe after. Okay. So it's wonderful. The practice is amazing. You can read about it, but being there for those days and having the men and women around you also going through the practice and the process, it's just wonderful to be part of the body of Christ.
Yes. You know, when the mystical presence of Christ touches us, we live in continuous forgiveness. Now, it may not be instantaneous. It may take us a moment to get our bearings and see our refusal of love for the person X, Y, or the situation. But immediately, you know those punching bag things with weight in the bottom, they come back up? We used to have when I was a kid, anyway. You come back up. It's like your center holds you if you practice having it for a while. And living in continuous forgiveness is to live without a grudge, and we're going to look at that a little more today from another tradition. But right now I'd like to hear also from some of the people that were at the one date yesterday. Would somebody just share with us, can you get anything out of a one-day retreat? Yes. Is that Cynthia?
Well, we had a wonderful group of people, and even in one day, I believe you can. I believe that, what I learned is what I got from that retreat, I would like to carry that forward. And the first thing that came to me in the first sitting was to address the guilt inside, whether it's me inflicting it or whether it's me feeling it. And so I worked with that the whole day. And I went home and I thought, okay, that's done. No way. Woke up this morning, still dealing with issues of guilt, and I'm like, boy, these are deep in the tissues, decades and decades
yes.
of behavior.
Yes.
And so you carry it forward, like she was saying, and you rework the practice, or the, for example, with forgiveness, that David Hawkins offers some awesome tools
yes.
in that book. Sitting in that feeling. I went to the forgiveness retreat a couple of years ago, and it seemed counterproductive to take the David Hawkins technique to take that feeling, and rather than keeping it trapped in your head, intellectualizing over it, bring it into your heart and literally feel it so
yeah.
that you can move forward. And at first I thought, that just seems like it's only going to embed it in you even more. But I felt, this is really miraculous. It actually breaks up
yeah.
and you're able to begin
yeah.
to let it go.
Yeah.
It was the opposite of what I thought.
Yeah.
And so I, again, used that same technique yesterday. So what we're learning from past retreats or moving forward in our daily lives and even being repeated in other retreats. And so I'm very grateful. Another thing, when you're with a group of people, your centering prayer is so much deeper and
truth.
They're like quickenings. And one day retreats are like mini quickenings.
Yeah. Exponentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's surprising to me when I went on my first, I'd been meditating for 15, maybe 20 years, when I went on my first centering prayer retreat and had done Buddhist retreat, and suddenly everything was different. And it was as though a door opened right here, and I dropped down into the darkest, softest, richest, most luminous place and began to weep because it was homecoming. And I was finally, for a moment, out of my head. It is so difficult because it seems counterintuitive to not figure out where was the smoking gun and who did, my father was this way, so I'm now this way, and it's his fault. You know, you can go through that for ever. But when we drop down into the body, that's where all the stuff is stored. That's where its continuity is. And by simply feeling what's present right now, over and over again, maybe noticing the place in the body where it's being experienced, but it's not thinking about our experience, which is reflective and reflexive, it's feeling the presence of now, whatever it looks like. Because when we do that in the awareness of God's presence, it now joins the above to the below, and the forgiveness of the above flows into us because we've shut up for a while and just be. And in just being, it seems like I'm not doing anything. I've got to do something. The mind really wants to re-engage and run the show. But then the mind finds out what a blessing it is to live from the heart, to live from the intuitive faculty. And we find out not only are we not dumb, you know, I used to be afraid I'd end up drooling, you know, just kind of a... Because I meditated a lot. And Thomas said, oh, it's too much. It was, but it was too late. But instead of that, I wind up being able to be in relationship with my wife. I wind up being able to read the news without being made sad. Not offended by much anymore. We're going to read some more of that. And it's still growing, don't get me wrong. But the process is fruitful. It does have these big jumps, like Brenda said, quantum leaps in understanding and a felt quality of what the reality of our circumstance is. But for the most part, it just goes on as a daily process of erosion of the false self, which then reveals that the true self has been here the whole time. Our Christ self has been here the whole time. It's just been covered over by this screen of logic, thinking this is going to do that, and who did this to me, and what I'm going to do tomorrow. It seems so necessary, but it's not necessary. Life unfolds in a wondrous way without our telling it what to do. It was that way for probably the first 6 years. And then came the age of reason, and we had to do something, and we had to do it well. And our mom loved us if we did it well, and she didn't if we didn't. And the whole enterprise was downhill from there in the sense of caterpillar life. Caterpillar life took over, but it didn't take away the true life or the true self within. The caterpillar is necessary for the development of the egg into the full-fledged butterfly. And so caterpillar stage is not bad. It's not bad not to know the truth of the presence of Christ. It's not bad to not know the Trinity and feel it living us and moving us and guiding us. None of those things are bad. But to live without them when they are presently offering them to us second by second is, what else could it be called but a tragedy if we don't live the life that's in our hearts but have adopted some means of making it in the culture, faking it. I faked it for so many years. Always felt inauthentic. Always felt like, what am I doing here? But I didn't know what to do about it until one day a man gave me a book flipped a switch. And this, in a sense, this whole church, I saw this yesterday in a class Mary Ann was teaching. This whole church is balanced on the point of a moment in time when a man in a cafe in Toronto said to me, having lunch with him, "You know, you might like to think about the ideas I think about. I think you should read this book." And I read the book, and it turned my mind 180 degrees around. And in that moment, I saw that everything I'd been thinking and doing, every aspiration I had, was absolutely backwards. I saw that I'd been looking into a mirror of a personal self and being just as fascinated as Narcissus in the myth of Narcissus and Psyche in the Greek. Looking at me, looking at me, looking at me, look at me, me first, me, me, me. It was like, oh my God, I'm hanging on to me. How will I ever fly? About that time, I read the word transformation in Ram Dass's book, Be Here Now. I showed it to you last week, The Butterfly. And I didn't know what transformation was for a person, but I knew that's all I want. That's it. Because I had played out a lot of my options addictively and crazily, and I found I couldn't find happiness in any of it. And being a fairly depressed person, it was not lost on me when the mind changed, that it was the mind that changed before the heart. Now, you may notice that Thomas Keating's book, Open Mind, Open Heart, starts with open mind. You would be astonished at the number of people who say, open heart, open mind. The mind does not want to give it up. The mind wants to keep on habitually reassociating us with what it chewed on yesterday and the day before and the day before. To be relieved of the cramp of self, to be relieved of the seductive, hypnotic desert of the mind is the greatest grace a human can have. And it's the greatest gift that we can give to our families and those we work with. And it's also the greatest glory that we can give to that which made it makes it possible. So last week we read about the butterfly and how the butterfly in its caterpillar stage goes about having caterpillar interests, which largely involve leaves. And crawling about and devouring leaves, growing and growing until they split and shed their skin. It's kind of like what you did yesterday around that retreat, Brenda. You shed one of your skins. That's called instars in biology. So the worm, the caterpillar, has five instars, five splitting of its skins. And you might look back on your life and see a number of times when you had breakthrough moments, breakthrough understandings, and after seeing what you've now seen, you weren't the same anymore. You now had new knowledge and a new sense of what we call being in the work of inner Christianity. Not doing. Our presence, our value to God and the world is not in our doing, it's in our being. Now, when we find a ground in being, then the doing takes on a new quality. And instead of being done grudgingly, it's done like Barbara just mentioned, it's done as karma yoga. Karma yoga, serving for the sake of serving, doing what's mine to do for the sake of doing it, because nobody else is here to do it, and for the glory of God who made me possible. So it doesn't have to be a spectacular roller coaster ride of exciting wonders anymore. Daily life becomes an ordinary, as Thomas said, shot through with God's extraordinary love. And he said, you know, welcome to the world of contemplation, the adventure of life where God can and does do anything and everything. So we're kind of, when we're in our caterpillar stage and interested in leaves only, we feel like this is it. The caterpillar is not sitting around planning to become a butterfly. It's looking for the next leaf. But then some signal occurs. Something happens. And the caterpillar stops eating and it fastens itself by hooks and a strong thread to the underside of a stem, and it begins to harden into a chrysalis. Now, in this chrysalis, the old caterpillar is not present anymore. He's become liquefied. There is a viscous, milky liquid inside each chrysalis that is not a caterpillar, and it's not a butterfly, but it has within it what are called imaginal buds, some imaginal buds that will become the power source, the information distribution system for the biological shift that takes that milky white liquid viscous substance and turns it into a butterfly. Now, if this caterpillar did not fasten itself to the stem, it did not grip it and then bind itself to the stem, no butterfly. That binding, that gripping, could be called groundedness in a human journey. And our way of holding on to the stem, our way of fixing ourselves so the transformative process can go forward, is through the silence. It's through the daily entrance into the silence and a grounding of ourselves in that infinite silence that is the reality of God. God is pervading this moment. All our cells are pervaded by God. There is no place that the thickness and fullness of God is not. And yet, if we're just making reflections in our minds about, quote, life, we're missing capital L life, which wants to transform us. Now, in the Magnificat that I read every day, it has stories of saints. Now, I grew up a Baptist. Every man a minister. We don't have saints. What are you talking about, saints? We're all equal. Well, we didn't understand saints, because the reason we remember saints is this is a butterfly collection. This is examples that we're remembering, that human life as it's commonly lived isn't the only way to live it, and that the glory of God is made manifest in the beauty of a butterfly that gave itself up to the chrysalis in order to become God's glory and the sipper of the finest nectars, much more wondrous than leaves to eat. This nectar, the nectar of God, is the nectar of the beauty of the flowers. And we were made for beauty. We were made to see it, to express it, to bear it into the world, to shine as a light, Jesus said, so that people can see that you are in some way connected to your Father in heaven, in an active way. Now, we don't go around proselytizing. We go around flying. We have wings that don't mean we have to sink into the muck of the news about current events. We're flying. We're not ignoring them. The flowers have stems. The flowers we're feeding on, they have leaves. It's all still there. But we're flying above it for its glory and for the rest of the society to have witnesses to the fact that God is present and active in every human life that simply says yes. Now, fastening ourselves to that stem is the first part of the journey, making a lifetime commitment to transformation and the food of the gods, the food that feeds our spirit. Now, that commitment is to your own life. There's not somebody else called God. There's God, and he's in you and me. So it's not like we're giving up something. Michael was talking about it 2 weeks ago. We're not giving up anything. We're nothing now. We're not a thing. We're a spirit. And if we go around acting like caterpillars, and that caterpillarness is our destiny, we've missed the fact that we were made for more than this. We were made for transformation into the butterflies that are witnessed to by the incarnation, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, which similarly to that butterfly is going through a process of losing something, an old form, and gaining something, a new resurrected form. But see, the human creature, unlike the butterfly, has options. The butterfly just knows, the caterpillar just knows when to grab onto that stalk and begin the crystallization process. He holds still. He's not going around anymore to the next plant. He's just staying still, and he's not quite what he was, and he's not quite what he's going to be. And my suggestion is that that probably qualifies for a lot of us on the spiritual journey. Because what we're working for is not to become wonderful. We're working to become real. And what we're working for is a process. It's not a goal. The process itself is the goal. Because once you're in the process itself has its own wisdom, its own timing, its own infinite capacity to transform us. To think that God can't transform people is just silly. It's just silly. I know a bunch of transformed people. Why doesn't everybody want this? The seductive quality of leaves. I've always eaten leaves. My parents ate leaves. The old time leaves are good enough for me. Not many butterflies have been coming lately. Then came Bernadette, then came Thomas, Father William, Father Carl. All these blessed friends are witnessing to us about butterflyness. They still look like average people. They act normal. Carl tells jokes. And Thomas doesn't like jokes. I told Thomas a joke once, and he just sat there. Whoa! That was leaves, wasn't it, Thomas? But back to where we started. Retreats. Retreats are infusions of silence, infusions of grace, because the collective of the group holds us more in silence than we ever get it on our own. I guarantee you, I'd been sitting for years in my house when I did my first centering prayer retreat. And I never dreamed there was this dimension to it. But it takes a group. And for me, it took regularity. I think it takes regularity for everybody, actually. I don't think you can do a retreat now and then and expect to be transformed. But Thomas says a retreat will do in 10 days, what, a year? A year of daily practice in 10 days. Now, we're accustomed to taking vacations in Yosemite, or maybe we go to the Bahamas, or Paris. Whoa, we haven't seen Paris. Let's go see Eiffel Tower. We're up there, all up. Still leaves. It still leaves. A break from culture to go into another culture and feed on that culture is on that culture's leaves. The silence is profound. The silence speaks itself. Now, sometimes we get scared when we go into silence and we hit that deep place. I hit it once where I forgot me. And at first it was scary. And then it was like, I'm still here. Tim, as I knew him, was no longer defining or confining me. Now, after I came out of that, that's all I wanted to do. All I wanted to do was get beyond my Timness so that it could be filled with whatever it was that touched me in that silence. Now, that was a little early to declare victory. Remember mission accomplished? Well, not quite. But the tastes that we get of the exalted state of human possibility empower us to make healthy and wise choices about our daily practice in the ordinary times of our lives. I would no more miss my twice daily sits than I would miss brushing my teeth every day. And even flossing now. Poor Dr. Rader has gone on. He used to beg me to floss, and I wouldn't do it. Now I floss every day. It becomes your life. It becomes the place where you grab on, and the chrysalis dissolves a little more and a little more from the old man. And what Paul called the new man becomes increasingly evident in us. Or as John the Baptist said, I must decrease. That's our personality. So he, our deep Christ self, can increase. This whole church exists for that purpose. The moment that Dan Pretula gave me that book, The Wisdom of Insecurity, this church was already in my future, though I was a drunk at the time. I was in a nowhere job. I didn't like what I was doing. I didn't like me. What happened? Process. Nobody got wonderful. Somebody just became more and more and more hungry for the real, the true, the real life that's in all of us. So I invite you to consider retreats not like a vacation. This is a movement toward God. It's not a movement away from your busy life. It's a movement toward God. But not God as a concept or a dogma, a theological assertion. God as a direct and incontrovertible experience in our body minds. We will never be the same. This is a rare church in that it offers retreats. It's not very usual to have a church that offers as many retreats as we do. We've got a beautiful retreat center, and as we prepare to go forward into the next stage of this church's evolution, I hope that retreats remain a fundamental core value because they're what built the church in the first place. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song. Thank you.
source and center.
And now let's join together for a time of silent prayer, centering prayer and community. To prepare ourselves, we become aware that the chairs on which we're sitting support our body weight, so we can relax and let go and open as we accept that support. And for this time, we just allow our attention to fall gently in the area of the heart, to the area of the heart, the seat of life itself, the seat of divine love. Resting in the heart, we listen to the psalmist with the ear of the heart. Oh, my beloved, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my inmost thoughts. You find me on the journey and guide my steps. You know my strengths and my weaknesses. Even before words rise up in prayer, lo, you have already heard my heart call. You encompass me with love where'er I go, and your strength is my shield. Such sensitivity is too wonderful for me. It is high. Boundless gratitude is my soul's response. And now we open up to the voice of the Lord. And now we dare to pray with confidence the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that serves us. And we do it in the sense and spirit of God's endless, infinite, abundant supply for every particle of creation. Taking our tithes and offerings in our hands, we bless them with our knowledge of what has always been truth. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's claim it together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. No, we are so blessed when we simply remember God. Amen.
Thank you.
Awake now to the nectar that awaits us. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen. This is a mystery that's inexplicable, but it's a sacrament. Now, a word sacrament means an efficacious means of grace. It's a way through which a person can come into a direct relationship with what usually amounts to an idea in us or a memory. And so here is the body of Christ, a material form, host, carrying an immaterial spirit. And it's exactly the same as our bodies are a physical form carrying, manifesting an immaterial spirit. And so the host wants to infuse itself into our tissues to remind them that they all belong to God, that there is no particle of creation that does not belong to God. And in this cup is the spirit of forgiveness, the spirit of compassion and mercy that is the very nature of God and that came to this earth through the presence of Christ and all that he went through and is here today feeding us with the very same life-changing reality that tells us that matter and spirit are not separated, that matter and spirit are one, just as God is one, so that we might, as Thomas Keating says, emerge from the Eucharist with a refined inward eye, seeing the oneness of God everything and in everyone, because in him even material creation has become divine. Let's join in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask pour out your spirit on these elements so that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took a cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin." whenever you do this, remember me. This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in singing our communion song, Abba. Abba.
As he is in.
living and eternal Christ. We feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ, for the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand for Amazing Grace.